So people are asking how they can get in touch with you. And of course, we've just been talking there about the portal Ask Ali, or on Twitter, Ask Ali. There's many ways to make contact with Ali Al Saloom. And you're looking there at Twitter. And what's coming in at the moment, Ali?
Lots of things. Many people find it exciting. Do I sound good on radio?
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Are they getting lots of compliments?
Please text us back if you want to hear me again. There you go.
Well, you'll definitely be back. There's no problem there. No worries at all. And I think also people have been tweeting asking about the I will if you will. So people want to... offer their support, if we want to call it that. It is support indeed, because we're raising awareness of the planet. This is in light of the WWF campaign and Earth Hour, which was last evening. If I will if you will is where somebody will give something up or do a dare. If you will do something, give something up to do with the environment, and you're saying that I will give up my three phones for 3 days if you will stop using plastic bags and use eco-friendly bags. But in order for you to do this dare, people have got to click on, go to YouTube, to the Earth Hour website, log in and put in Ask Ali and Ali Al Saloom, and you will get directed to the YouTube page.
Absolutely.
You click on that because you need, what, 10,000 votes before you have to fulfill this dare.
Yeah, I made sure that it's a bit difficult of a number, but then God knows we have lots of millions around the world. So yeah, people can just follow me on Twitter on @AskAli, also through my Facebook page, Ali Al Saloom, or Ask Ali fan page. And I will be actually tweeting and posting the messages again along with the link. People can just go to that link directly and they simply can participate in the event or can ask any questions they have if they need an answer for.
Now, we've had some comments regarding language and reading. One here suggesting with regards to language that yes, learning the Arabic language is compulsory in many schools, but one person saying here that their daughter, their child went, had an Arabic teacher, and it was so appalling actually, the level of education, that none of the children did well in their tests, or can they speak Arabic, and they're suggesting that it's all for show. So it's almost tokenism, the idea of having Arabic lessons.
Well, I think you see, people have to ask themselves always a question: why do you want to learn a language, right? Now, when I started getting into Korean, I didn't get it into a professional level. I was just like, you know, I picked it up and I started, you know, kind of practicing it with the Korean community that I was around, or they were around in Canada with me. But today in the UAE, yes, Arabic is the official language. It's what we actually communicate with each other in government level, and also I would say schools and all of that. However, it's still also in English. There's a lot of major of it is actually in English. Nothing wrong with that. Let's try to do our best to actually have Arabic available for people to learn. If they want to learn it, fine, but we don't have to force them to use it. But the
options.
Problem, yeah, it's option. But again, if you don't force them to use it, then it becomes a bit difficult to remember and memory in your memory, because lots of people here speaks English, so you will end up using it you will end up using English with us. And it's just an invitation for all Emiratis. I always say, please, when an expat or anyone who is not Arabic speaks to you and says Assalamu alaikum, to not reply back with, hey, what's up, how are you doing?
In English.
You know, try to reply back with, alaykum salam wa rahmatullah.
Support them.
If somebody says, kif halak, don't understand and go, hey, I'm fine, and you... You know, it's almost like this guy is trying to say, like, oh, I know English, just not you, you know.
But, you know, also when I lived in the Netherlands for a while, Suzanne, their English is so good in the Netherlands that when I did try to speak Dutch, they also would answer back. And when we asked them, I said, please, you know, try to support. It's a hard language. Help me out. They said, no, but we don't want to make you feel uncomfortable. That's the only reason why we would answer in English.
Absolutely.
It's not that they were trying to dissuade me, but it's just making them feel more
uncomfortable. But in school, I think we really, if the children are like between 5 or 6, 7 till 8 or 10, I think it should be very easy for them to learn Arabic. So the children, they will learn Arabic so quickly from school, only if there is enough Emirati students. If there is no enough, Arab students, if there is no Arab students, then they're not going to use it very much, so...
Yes, well, someone's asking here, I'm ashamed to say I've lived here for 15 years and I don't speak Arabic, but I'd like to. Any advice on the best way to learn to speak Arabic?
Yes, first advice. Actually, you know, yesterday I had a very good question. It's coming from an Emirati lady who lived overseas, born and raised overseas. She just arrived back to the country after 17 years. She's a young teenager, and she says, I'm going through crazy time. I'm not able to learn about my culture. I cannot even communicate. So I said to her, who's your friends? She's like, it's expat. I said, that's the first thing. Keep them, but do start meeting your cousins and start speaking to them in Arabic. She's like, yeah, I never thought about this. It's all about the friends. So I would say to this person, try to surround yourself with some Arabs. Okay. When we say Arabs, I don't mean only Emiratis. We have a great number of Syrians, Jordanians, yes, Lebanese who would definitely be happy to share with you. And don't worry. It's okay. If you speak Lebanese dialect or Syrian dialect or Iraqi dialect or whatever dialect, it's fine. Not a problem. Just start, you know, practicing it.
That's how I learned as well. Arabic that I know through my Emirati friends.
And then the things, as you start, try to get some classes just to get the basics. There's lots of classes, and not to promote anyone, you can always go to my portal. There is a list of them. Just those are the ones that I trust, and I think that they offer good knowledge. And you can get some classes from them.
Regarding equality, and one of our listeners is agreeing on some of the points, but saying, I don't think there's equality when it comes to employment because of Emiratization laws. Companies have to hire Emiratis even if they are not the most qualified candidates.
So that's equality with something else. It has nothing to do with women we're talking about, right?
Yeah, I think our discussion had to do with gender equality.
It did, yeah. But because you talked about employment statistics, what they're saying is that's fine, but actually if you're talking about employment statistics, because of Emiratization laws, they're saying that Emiratis are not necessarily the best. Looking at individuals may not be the most qualified candidates for certain jobs.
Oh, that's a completely different question, but I'm happy to answer it. I love this subject. When it comes to employment or anything, first of all, so I just understand exactly what that person is saying. Is he saying that the private sector is not hiring enough Emiratis?
No, they're saying that because of Emiratization, then certain, there's a quota of jobs that will go to a local, to an Emirati, and what they're saying, it's not equal because they might not be the best candidate for the job because they're not qualified or have the experience.
Oh, okay, yeah, but that's a very small percentage that will learn and they will become good. I mean, let's take the situation of what happened recently with the whole economy situation. Emiratis will never fill every single job in this country. So Emiratization, first of all, has nothing to do with replacing an expat with an Emirati or anything. Emiratization is simply to actually diversify the economy and have good number of Emiratis who can at least embrace and choose various of majors that they can actually get involved, like the banking system. We have now Emirati clerks, we have customer service managers in hotels. We started having a guest relation manager as an Emirati. I started my career in hospitality as a doorman and as a receptionist. So this is the Emiratization power. Now why they're not going to be perfectly for these jobs, it is possible anywhere. There is always, you're going to hire some who might not be perfect for it, but they will learn, they will go through training, they will embrace the good experience, and then they probably will be a better in their job.
Yeah, Emiratis are a little, sometimes can be segregated from the many dimensions in society, and this was a way to integrate them, wasn't it, to try to get them involved in the more public spheres of life, and to so you have individuals in different positions. The question of competence, of course, is something that needs to be looked at all the time. It needs to be looked at on an expat level. It needs to be looked at as from an Emirati level. So it is something that needs to be reviewed all the time.
And Tina's made a good point. Remember that many expats need to learn English when moving to the UAE because not all of us have English as a first language. So yeah, I mean, language is one we can revisit from time to time, so many times actually, and it's going to be an ongoing discussion because, yeah, it's true. I suppose what it comes around to for me as an English person, a British person, is how many British actually can speak more than one language when so many nationalities, so many people living here speak various languages. They speak English, they'll speak maybe speak Arabic, they'll speak lots of different languages. So we have to kind of think about
that. But just to be fair with all these people who are having some challenges, Arabic is not an easy language. I mean, we have to be very quiet, Arabic is spoken differently from reading and writing and all that stuff. So it's the second hardest language after Chinese. So it's not like, something. So if you manage to even get the basics right, that's really a good thing. You know, it's really good for you. So, and that's why one of the majors why we is maybe we don't have enough hope that people can master the language and they will not speak it the way that we speak. That's why it encouraged us to actually get into an English.
We could go on. The questions are still coming in and the comments. It's really fascinating reading. And just to finish off, though, on Twitter, at Jassem Al-Hussani, good morning to you, saying, Ask Ali made our morning so excited. Good luck, Ali, and proud of an Emirati member representing all of the Emirates in such a positive way. So thank you for that message and all of your messages today. And for you, Ali, what's next? How can people get hold of you and what are you up to next?
Thank you very much. Well, it's been a great morning for me. I'm going to head back now to the Abu Dhabi International Book Fair exhibition. So this is an invitation for everybody. Please come over. I have a stand there with my great team. Very small one, but it's a big in action. You know, get in touch with us through the portal, askali.com, or through Twitter. That's at AskAli, or through Facebook, once again, AskAli. And do read my weekly column on the M Magazine, on the National. If you have any question, please feel free to ask. I thank everybody for listening. And big love and congratulations again to Dubai and to all the our own country for winning yesterday the great race on the World Horse Cup. What else? Love you all. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Ali Al-Saloom, and look forward to catching up with you again very soon. And Samina Shaheen, we'll be back together next Sunday on Voices of Diversity talking about South Africa.
That's right. I look forward to it, Suzanne.